kids are going next door, junior church, Acts chapter 4. Give you a second to get there. And I'm not going to sing. We don't have a special singer, and I'm not going to be it. So, this morning. Yeah, that's it. Say, somebody said, preaching's bad enough. We don't want him to start singing. Oh, man. All right, Acts chapter 4. We're going to be down in verse 23 in just a minute. I've been in the book of Acts the last couple of weeks. I'm doing a study myself, personally, just studying there. And, you know, it's hard to get rolling past chapter 2 and chapter 4. I love the book of Acts because it's the early church. The Holy Spirit had just been given to the church. The church was pure. Not that it didn't have some issues, but for the most part at the beginning, it was what God intended for it to be, and for it's the great example for us. And some people say, well, Acts is called the Acts of the Apostles. Some people said they should call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit because that He's the one that's moving, in this book. And just to get up to speed, and because I'm kind of starting in a middle of a chapter there, and just to get us up to speed, and I spoke about this last week. Peter and John had been traveling on their way to the temple, and there was a lame man. He'd been lame since birth. He would lay at the temple gate every day, and when people would come, he would ask for alms, which is money. Just wanted meet his financial need. Couldn't work, and of course Peter and John were on their way to pray. They saw him, and he asked for alms of them, and they said, Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And of course, the man was immediately healed, and he rose and he walked. And of course, then after that, people, when something like that happens, you get a crowd, and people, Peter had an opportunity to preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But in chapter 4, verse 2, it said that after this happened, that there was some people that were grieved about that. They were grieved that Peter preached and the resurrection from the dead. And so they complained. There was a disturbance, and they were locked up. But the Bible says that over 5,000, because of that message and the healing there, that over 5,000 people were saved because of that. And, of course, the priest and the Sadducees, the religious crowd, didn't like it. They did take note. The Bible says they took note that Peter and John had been with Jesus. And, they didn't want the word of that miracle spreading any farther than it did, because they didn't have no answer for a healed man. I mean, what are they going to say? They knew that it happened. So what they did was they threatened them, and they said, "Look, you guys don't preach anymore in this name." I mean, they wouldn't even say the name of Jesus. They just said, "Don't preach anymore in this name." Of course, we know Peter and John. They said, "Listen, man, we're going to do what God wants us to do." And of course, they went on to do that, but after they were let go, they went back to their company. It says in verse 23, and they gave a report. They said, "Look, this is what happened." And they told the whole story. Lame man healed. We got to preach, and 5,000 people, which that was even a greater miracle. 5,000 people were healed. Don't lose sight of that. The emphasis isn't on the lame man being healed. The emphasis is on 5,000 people being saved. And they told the church that, and they had a prayer meeting. Right then, the church had been praying, no doubt, but they had a prayer meeting. Get this? It was a church at prayer, and that's what we see there in our text. And what we see is the prayer and the results of prayer, but I'm starting in verse 23. This is after they were let go out of the magistrates, let them go, the priests and those, let them go. And it says they went to their own company, and that was the church, so the Christian people, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord," here's the prayer, "Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them," or all that in them is, excuse me, "who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. I'm just praying, Lord, you take our distractions away, have our minds focused on you, on your word. Lord, pray that you would deal with our hearts. Help us to be honest about ourselves with you. Lord, see our need. Lord, we know we're not a perfect people yet. Lord, even though we may be saved, and there may be some here, Lord, that's not saved yet, haven't called on your name in a sincere way, we pray today will be the day of their salvation as well, that you have your will and way with us this morning. Move among us, make us aware of your presence. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The title of the message is, Why Do the Heathen Rage? I used this text last Sunday night. I've preached on to the ones that were here Sunday night about the fact that they prayed, the place shook. I said, boy, I would love for that to happen, but they were all in one accord, and that's mostly the problem with churches today, or the church as a whole was not, we're on one accord, but they prayed and the place shook, and God gave them boldness, and he answered their prayer. And the quote there, and where I got the title of the message from, and verse 25 of Acts chapter 4, he said, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? That's a quote from Psalm 2:1. And, you know, and I wanted to think about that as well. When we look at the world today, I shared this with Sunday school class, you know, we're living in a world that is raging against God. This world is raging against God, against his people, his word, prayers, crosses. Christmas is coming. Somebody, no doubt, is going to file suit somewhere about a nativity scene being up somewhere that they think it shouldn't be, or the Ten Commandments. You know, maybe I've shared this with you before. Remember they had the court down, there was a judge down in Alabama that had Roy something was his name, and he had the Ten Commandments on the wall there, and they had a big old dispute about it. But when you go downtown in Washington, D.C., I used to work in Washington, D.C. all the time and go around, look at things. And it's right over, I can't remember if it's what building it is. And Sherry, you might remember because you worked down there. But when you were out on the ellipse, and that's where the National Christmas Tree is, and you were looking at the White House, that big old long building that's on this side, I forget what that is, what building that is. It's not Treasury, I don't think. But anyway, on the other side of it, on over the big doors, it's all that stuff's made out of marble and everything. It's got the Last Supper up there. It's got Moses leading the people. It's all carved in there. They're going to have to chip down the whole building to get that off of there. And somebody probably, they'll probably do it. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they didn't do it in this day and time. But, you know, we see that. We see this going on in the world we live in today. Now, this, in the Bible, my subtitle says, back when they were locked up for healing this man and preaching Jesus, it was the first persecution outright of Christianity as a whole. I mean, Satan's been on the scene since Adam and Eve, and we understand that. But when we think about it, you know, what was their problem in that day? I mean, here was a guy that was healed. We talked about that in Sunday school. Here's a guy that's healed, you know, was made whole, and they preached Jesus Christ, the resurrection from the dead. I don't know about you, but the closer I get to dying, I'm glad they got a resurrection. I'm glad that you know, we're going to get a new body. I mean, that's good news to me. Why would you going to lock somebody up for preaching good news? And they had a problem. They got this healed man standing there. They can't do nothing with him. This is the evidence right there. This is what the world hates it, boy, when you get them. You get them, you know. They had them. The leaders even said, well, you know, a notable miracle's been done. We've got a healed man. We can't say nothing against it. What are we going to do? Well, let's just command them not to preach in this name anymore, and then nobody will find out about the miracle. I mean, you know, that's kind of what's going on today. There's the miracle of salvation, the resurrection from the dead that we'll experience, and the world out here says, listen, we don't want them telling anybody about that. We don't want them to find out about that. And so, what I want to talk to you about is why the world has a problem. What is the problem with the gospel message today? You mind telling me? You know, what is the problem as far as the world's concerned? You know, and the world wants to deny God or hate Jesus and oppose His word. And I understand that Satan, that the big picture is that Satan is against it. I mean, he's against that. And he's using, you know, people. He would say, you know, God uses people and Satan uses them too. And I understand that. 2 Corinthians 4 says this. The God of this world, that's Satan, that's as Damian preached, that's a lowercase g, buddy. That's a lowercase g. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See, this is what the deal is. Satan has blinded the minds. It's not the eyes. It's the minds, so that even when they see a healed man standing there, they still want to deny that it's a miracle, that it's God. You know, they still want to deny that there's a mind. Their eyes see it, but the mind is blinded. And that's what's going on in the world that you and I live in today. And it, man, it is waxing worse and worse and worse. It's worse. I've been preaching coming up on 21 years. It's worse in them 20 years since I've started preaching. It's worse now than it was then. I mean, and it's getting worse every single day. Now, so, you know, I want to show you and talk to you about how Satan, you know, what is the thinking? When your mind gets blinded, how you think and how Satan does it in a practical way. How Satan does it in a practical way. Very first point is this. They see a power greater than themselves. A power greater than themselves. Now, right off the bat, you were dealing with Sadducees and the Pharisees, and the Sadducees didn't believe in any thing supernatural. It was all natural, all in, you know. So resurrection from the dead as a supernatural thing would be in opposition to their whole philosophy. I mean, there wouldn't be any Sadducees if that's a true thing. So you can understand why they're in opposition to this, even though you know, there was going to be some evidences against that. And so what it is, they didn't want to see a healed man because they would have to admit that there's a power greater than himself. That something, you know, something went on because there wasn't any, it was just a spoken word and the guy was healed. There wasn't no, there wasn't an ointment or a long drawn out 2 year healing process. He wasn't put in traction. You know, they didn't take a pill. There wasn't anything natural that would fix it. They just spoke the word and he was healed. And I mean, they said, man, you know, that's a supernatural thing. So what are they going to do? And so what happens is they didn't want to see it because they have to admit that there's a power greater than themselves. They want to deny God and more specifically Jesus Christ, because if they would have to admit that there's a power greater to them than themselves. Now I want you to see something. That's what's wrong with the world out here today, because the pride's at the bottom of it. What it is nobody wants nobody telling them what to do. They don't want to have, like, authority is a four-letter word in the world we're living in today. And I'm talking about in every area. Listen, man, you start out when you're a little kid. Kids don't want to listen to their parents. And then when they don't listen to their parents, they go to school and they don't want to listen to the teacher. And then when they get out and get in trouble, they don't want to listen to the laws of the land. And then what it all boils down to, they're rebelling against God because they don't want to have any authority. And so that's the whole issue that we see, you know, going on in the world. They don't want to admit that. I was preaching on, we're doing a study on a Wednesday night, and where Paul was using as an argument the Old Testament about grace and law, and he was using the biblical illustration of Ishmael and Isaac, you know, one represents grace and one represents law, and so did Sarah and Hagar, and, you know, on and on. But there's the thought, like Ishmael, see, he was never a problem in the home until Isaac was born, because now grace showed up. See, we battle with the flesh. We didn't have a problem with our flesh until grace entered in. Now we have that, you know, so we talk about that. But here's the thing about the flesh. Ishmael doesn't mind doing, and this is you and I, the flesh. And I think this even applies to people in churches. And maybe, I know Christians battle with this. I know Christians battle with it. Ishmael doesn't mind doing a few religious deeds. Showing up at church. The flesh doesn't mind showing up at church. We'll get away from Ishmael unless a bit personal. The flesh doesn't mind showing up at church, doing a few good deeds, as long as the flesh can remain flesh and nobody pushes its buttons to do anything else. That's really what it is. See, so we don't mind coming along and playing church. We don't mind coming along and doing a few things of what the Word of God says, but I'm going to tell you what, we got a boundary and we got a parameter and we're not going past that, and nobody's telling us to go past it, because now you know, I'm not on the throne any longer. There's a power greater than myself, and I don't want to have to deal with that. And boy, nobody knows it better. You pastors of churches, try exercising pastoral authority in the world we live in today. Oh my gosh, man, it's like being on a bucking bronco, man. I mean, just getting everybody, you know, the whole thing blows up, man. I mean, you know, you can't, I'm the last person here that can tell anybody to do anything. The last person. I mean, everybody else could do it, but I, you know, you can't do it. And so that's the problem that we see. You know, the priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were afraid. The problem they had was like, you know, they were telling people, well, you know, this is how you get to God, and we're going to tell you all about God. Which was fine because they had a place in time. But now, somebody comes up and says, hey, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And they did, man, they had never done that because they weren't preaching Jesus Christ, man. And all of a sudden, man, here's somebody that's leading people to God and they're getting a lot closer to God than we are, man. And we're going to lose our place and our privilege and we're going to lose our power. We got to stop it. That's why people won't admit and submit to Jesus Christ. That's why this world out here, well, you know, the Bible can't be true. We're not going to go by the Word of God. We're not following that. We're not having anybody tell us that's not true, because it's what I think that counts. It's what I think that counts. And that's human nature right there. And because we don't want, man wants to rule himself. Let's just face it. I mean, I got to kick myself off the throne every day. Huh? Every day, man. But I want to say, well, you know what? This is what I want to do. Here's my agenda. I haven't got time to go down there and fool with them people. I've got my agenda to do. I haven't got time to go tell people how to get. I got my agenda to do. Huh? I don't have time to be obedient. I don't have time to do this and do that, whatever may fit in. I've got to do what I want to do. I'm on the throne. They were in opposition in spite of the evidence that they had a healed man standing there. See what happened? Back to Satan. He blinded their minds. Blinded their mind. Have you ever argued with somebody? I'm sure you have. Have you ever argued with somebody that's just like going around, like, you know, this wall is white? No, it's not. I'll tell you what, it's a different, you know. You ever talk to anybody like that? You just can't. I see some of you looking at each other like, yeah, right next to me. Married people, you know what I'm talking about. You can't get through, you know. My marriage problem is solved. I told my wife, you're wrong, I'm right. Just get that settled. Everything will work. It works good, right? You know that's not true, right? But, you know, sometimes that happens. It's just like crazy things. And so, like I say, even in church, Christian folks, we got sort of a controlled submission. It's a controlled submission. We submit to a certain point, but we're not going past that point. As soon as you say, I'm not going past that point, then you're the one that's on the throne. Depends on what God, what if God tells you different? Well, who does he think he is? Huh? That's pretty much what we say. So we see that. We see it in society. It's infiltrated the church. And then at the same time, not everybody in churches are saved. Right? The second thing is, way it works is a materialistic society. You know, that lame man, I mean, he wanted money, right? I mean, and it makes sense. I understand it. He didn't have a job. He couldn't work. He's probably not thinking. He'd probably been to all the doctors, and they took all the pills and lotions and everything he could do. And he hadn't been healed, so we understand it. So he's thinking, I just got the solve my problem, and to a certain degree it did solve his problem because you got to eat. He said, listen, I just want money. I'm thinking in the terms of money. I'm thinking alms. I'm begging alms, and that's what I want. Now, but the problem is this. It's still just a temporary fix. Because what happened is he gets alms today, guess what? You're going to have to eat tomorrow, and then people probably didn't give enough, you know, like, well, here's $1 million, buddy, just live the rest of your life. He didn't have that. He still had the physical problem the whole time. You know, it was always, and we look, and, you know, so he's going to be a lame man. I believe that he had probably just given up on a cure. And but here's the thing. He's not thinking spiritually, and the world doesn't want to. Matter of fact, the reason that Jesus Christ, one little nutshell thing, that the reason that Jesus Christ was crucified was because he was speaking on spiritual terms to a world that's fixated on material things. I mean, that's pretty much it. You know, that's why they crucified him. They just couldn't understand it. They couldn't comprehend that going on. And so the physical mindset instead of the spiritual, or the natural instead of the supernatural. And, we see it in churches in our prayer requests a lot of times. You know, we usually pray, not that it's not a needed thing, but we're usually praying for the lame man to be healed of his lameness, not for the lame man to be healed of his spiritual, issue that he has going on. So, like I said, it was still going to be a temporary thing as far as, just meeting his needs. But, he wasn't thinking that. And so we see that that's what we're fascinated with in the world that we live in today, is the material, the now, not the supernatural thing. And then another point that we see, I want you to notice this. I know this isn't an alliterated outline, but it gets the points to where I want them to be. We see a determination. Verse 26, it says, "The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ." And then in verse 28, it says, "For to do what? Soever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." Now God knew this, and God's in charge of everything, but we see a certain determination. And actually, in the text that we're in, we know that Satan had always been in opposition, but he hadn't got the people on board with it. But it was the first time that the rulers, when they locked up Peter and John for preaching, it was the first time that the rulers took a definite action against, saying, "You cannot preach, it's against the law." That's what they were trying to say. And so as we see, it's continued today. And the world is determined, and it's taken a definite action against Christ and his church, more so than at any other time in history. And I want to tell you, it's not going to get better. It's not going to get better. And there's a line that's drawn in the sand, and I want you to understand something here. You got to figure out which side you're going to be on. Because the world, even the world... Listen, God's not going to let you stand on both sides of the line, kind of depending on the sway of popular opinion or, how bad the threat is. God's not going to let you stand on either side. And I'm going to tell you, the world's not going to let you either. The world's not going to let you say, "Oh, I'm going to run over here with Jesus for a little while, and then, but if it gets bad, I'm going to come back." No. The world's going to have a line, and you got to decide which side you're going to stand on. Now, I'll tell you something, you got a problem. If you're not saved, you're not going to be able to stand. That's why the Bible tells us, listen, instead put your armor on, put your helmet of salvation, your breastplate of faith, the shield of righteousness, and I may have that backwards, but get your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, and then get your sword right here. Here's your sword. I'm going to fall in. Here's your sword. Communion wine. Here's your sword right here. Get your sword out because you're in a fight. You can't have, you ever see two guys, when I was in school, you get two guys and they're mad at each other, they're going to get in a fight. You ever see this? And you get up, maybe you was one of them. You get up in there and both of you just kind of. And this goes on for like 10 minutes. There's a definition for it. One of them's scared and the other one's glad of it. And the fight never happened. It's just a lot of sneering and that. That's pretty much, listen, no. You get in the fight. You got to get it. You just can't be playing any longer. There's a reason that things have gone the way. Now, I know they're going to go that way, but that doesn't mean we throw in the towel and God expects us to do some things. Way back, I was too young to know, and I don't know where the Christians were, but when they look back when they took prayer out of school, a lot of us were old enough to know. They one woman complaining, and all the Christians just sat around. Nah, that ain't going to happen. Well, it happened. You know why? Because if all the people that even just called themselves Christians, all the people that call themselves Christians and are not, don't have the courage to do it, that's the problem. But the people that are, they could have stood up and pitched a fit. I believe this with all my heart. I believe there's more people. If all the people that was calling themselves Christians today, and all the real, if we stood up and really pitched a fit, like the special interest groups do, when laws are being passed and things, there would be some changes. There would be some, because the congressmen and that would say, "Wow, man, I didn't know that many people really cared." But what happens is we don't do anything. We just not throwing any punches. We're not in the battle, and so that's how it happened. This is how it happened. Where were the Christians back then? There was a lot of them. Lots of churches were filled up, a lot more than they are today. But we just sat around, we didn't do anything. I can give you a lot of practical ways how to do it, and I've asked people before, how many of you ever called your congressman and senator, and most people haven't. They've never done it. Never done it. That's what they're there for. But anyway, I was reading some things about what's going on in the world today. And I get that Decision magazine. Some of you, Miss Markham, maybe you get it, that Billy Graham or Franklin Graham, that Decision magazine. Any of you ever get that? Anybody get it? They got some articles in there. And I was reading in one the other day where there was a football coach. This is in the United States of America now. A football coach, after the game's over with, this coach kneels on the football field and prays. Doesn't it coerce anybody? Doesn't, you know, now some people have joined in, some of the students joined in and all that. He has been, that somebody complained about it. It's always one person. And what gets me, before I get there, let me give you a practical lesson here. When my kids went to Eagle Rock Elementary School, we go down there, you know, we were newbies, man. We moved in from Northern Virginia, you know, Egypt. And we moved down here. And, you know, we go to the PTA meeting. And Brother Cox from over there at Oriskany, he got up and he prayed. He opened up the meeting in prayer in Jesus' name. I about fell over. I looked at Sherry, I said, I can't believe it. I said, man, they're praying in Jesus. I mean, I was great. It was great, but I was like, I can't believe in this day and time. Well, you know, within the first year, somebody wrote an anonymous letter. Didn't have the guts to put their name on it to the principal. Said, well, you know, I'm offended because you're praying in Jesus' name. What about the Hindus? And what about, you know, and I felt like, I said, look, they're in another country. Pack your rags and go wherever they are, you know. Amen. But you know, they said, they're offended because we're not praying in Buddha and I don't know what all, you know, they named all. So the principal caved in like a cheap lawn chair and she said, oh, well, you know, we got it. I said, look, it's one letter. I talked to her personally. I said, it's one letter. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll write a letter and my wife will write a letter. Now it's 2-1. And I'll put my name on it. Saying I'm going to be offended if you don't pray in Jesus' name. Oh, no, 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 that won't work. Why do they cave into the minority? Because nobody else in the meeting had a problem. So that's local, right? That's local. This guy here, one person complains. The students that prayed with him weren't complaining. The other coaches that knelt and prayed with him, they weren't complaining. It's just somebody that wasn't involved in any way. And they cave into that. Listen, this thing's been to 2 appeal processes and lost both times. It may have to go to the Supreme Court. It wouldn't surprise me if it loses there. The guy's kneeling down and praying. I guarantee if he is praying in Buddha's name, they wouldn't, nobody say nothing about it. Nobody would say nothing about it. That is in America now. You know, this is what they said. I had to write it down. My memory's not great. They said this is what they said in the appeals. They said that he pressed his particular views upon impressive and captive minds. Isn't not recognizing God impressing a view on somebody's mind? If I choose not to recognize God, doesn't that make a statement? Satan had blinded their mind. Huh? See, they can't see that. They don't see that's a view as well. Nationally or internationally, I read about 7 pastors in Sudan who were interrogated by police because they wouldn't turn over the leadership of their churches to a committee appointed by the Islamic government. They won't do it. A baker in Colorado. Now listen, I'm going to tell you what, a Christian baker in Colorado is rare as hen's teeth. I mean, you know, in Colorado, I just come from out there. Ain't nothing out there but old hippies and I don't know what all out there, man. You know, but this is unusual. But this guy's a Christian baker. And the guys, he took a Christian stand. He doesn't make cakes for Halloween. I mean, if you ain't got a problem with Halloween or whatever, but he don't make them for Halloween. He won't make cakes that have anything lewd on them. He won't make cakes that are anti-American. And 2 gay men came in and wanted to do a wedding cake, and he said he wouldn't do it for them. He said, I'm not. So now, he had all kind of lawsuits going on and everything. And he said, look, I'm not discriminating against it. I'm a Christian. I'm going by the Word of God. Anything that I think's against, that doesn't honor God, I don't want to do that. And so what he did was he just closed down the cake-making part of his business. He used to have, I think, something like 18 employees. Now he's down to like 4 because he lost a lot of money. I mean, taking a stand may cost you something. You know, you got that line in the sand. No, you got to get on one side or the other. It may cost you something. And this one here, this is one that blows my mind most of all. I was reading about it. Maybe you heard about it. I don't keep up with it, but I was looking at this. There's a gospel singer that she sung a song. That was her and some lady sung a song. Is in a popular movie that's out recently. You know, and then she pastors a church. You know, I mean, we're not in agreement with a woman pastor, as the Bible says, if a man desires the office of a bishop. But that aside, she preached a message against homosexuality. Well, she was supposed to go on, because of the movie did really good and all, her and the ladies that sang with her were supposed to go on to Ellen DeGeneres' show. I usually got another last name for her, and I'm not going to say it because I'll be on the radio, but I don't want to be disrespectful, but it rhymes with DeGeneres. But anyway, she was supposed to go on Ellen. Well, they found out about the video, so they canceled her. They said, okay, you can't, you know, go on her. All right, I understand. I get it, you know, because you're dealing with a homosexual and, you know, regular TV. But listen to this. She had a radio show. Texas Southern University canceled her radio show. And then she was disinvited from she was supposed to be a co-honoree on the BMI Trailblazers of Gospel Music Awards. All right, this is the Trailblazers of Music, Gospel Music Awards. She was supposed to be a co-honoree. They disinvited her. And the soundtrack producers from the movie who was supposed to sing with her on the Ellen show said, there's no room for any kind of prejudice in 2017. Now, what's wrong with this picture? There's no room for any kind of prejudice in 2017, except if you're prejudiced against Christians, and then it's okay. We can be prejudiced against a Christian, and then it's all right. But see, how come they can't see that? How come they don't see what, like I was sharing with somebody, that, like, see, if you say like this, they say, hey, man, you know, you're wrong, you're judging me. Well, if you say you're judging me, then you're judging me. You're doing the same thing in reverse. How come we don't see that? How come they can't see? Well, there's no room for any prejudice, even though we're going to be prejudiced against this woman because she has a different religious view than everybody. I mean, she wasn't going to go on Ellen and preach a message. She was going on there to sing a song, you know, which I wouldn't have gone on her. She probably would have been better off just saying, nah, I'm not going on that show. They ain't calling me up. That's for sure. But I just, you know, listen to this. I believe this. Listen, this is what I believe. You know, found out some other stories, some things that are personal that we know about, things in the family we know. I believe this. I believe that 80% of the church or greater, 80% of the people in churches do not believe the Bible, all of the Bible. They don't believe it. They don't believe it, man. It's, you know, the cafeteria style Christianity. Pick out what you like. Get rid of what you don't like. Find fault with it. They don't believe what the Word of God says. Man, a live judgment. I was asking the Sunday school class, how many of you watch the soccer? I'm not a soccer fan that much, but it's the USA thing. They were going to be qualifying for the World Cup, and they played Panama the other night. Wasn't nothing else going on. I thought, all right, every time I watch them, they lose, but they actually won the game. I was watching, but I saw these flags up there in the stands, and I thought, well, they're kind of weird. They looked like the American flag. They had rainbow colors where the red and white stripes are. It was rainbow looking. And then they had the stars in the blue corner. And I thought, well, I'm an idiot, I tell you. I said, it must be that Panamanian Americans. And maybe it's a combination of the two flags. I saw the Panamanian flag. I said, I don't have no stripes. So I looked it up, rainbow American flag. It's a gay pride flag. And they were all over. It was in Orlando, Florida. They were all over the stadium, different places. I mean, it was everywhere. And they're waving them things. You know what would have happened in my day when I was going to school? You'd have got a thumping right there. That flag would have been where the sun don't shine. I mean, you would have had some problems. Yeah, that's what would happen. Now, I'm not condoning that. I'm not saying you got to beat up everybody. But what it is, we just allow it, man. I mean, it's so open. Everything is open. Sin, 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 everything. Everything, but try to be a Christian and open. Amen. Right now, the homosexuals got more rights than the Christians do in America. Right. They do. They do. They can say what they want. They can promote their agenda. And we can't even pray. We can't kneel on a football field and pray. But I'll tell you what, man, if everybody got their armor on, got ready and went up and you know, the squeaky wheel. I mean, if one woman could get prayer out of school, I think the whole church as a whole in America could get it back in if we would do something about it. But see, what I want you to see this. Oh, And then another couple things I had for illustrations. You know, things people don't believe in absolutes, don't believe in right and wrong. They believe right and wrong is subjective. I read about a woman in Texas. She was told by police to stop handing out gospel tracts to kids who came to her door for Halloween. Said it was against the law, which it was a flat-out lie. It's not against the law. Halloween rolls around, you can hand out all the gospel tracts you want. You can hand out as long as they take them for you. You know, you can't stuff them in her mouth, but you can put them in the back. You can do that. At the same time, in Madison, Wisconsin, the Freedom From Religion group handed out tracts to school children, remember those young impressionable minds, that said, we can be good without God. That was okay. That's okay in America. That is okay. This is what we live in. I want you to see, there's a determination by the powers that be against Christ. It's determined, it's definite, and it's daring. The world will stop at nothing because the world crucified Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, and then the fourth thing here, I'll get to the end. And then we see the world imagining a vain thing. Part of the verse I used from my text. Topic said, why did the heathen rage? I'm telling you why. And the people imagine a vain thing. And this verse is quoted from Psalm 2:1, as I said at the beginning. And it was during a time that a new king was taking the throne. And there was a rebellion against that. And I want to tell you something. See, this is it. We got to deal with it on our own. Like I said earlier, we got to deal with it. When the new king wants to take the throne, there's some rebellion that goes on. And we may have it in our own life, in our own church as well. There. And a lot of folks need a new king on the throne. I will say that beside that. But the vain thing, what is the vain thing? What was the vain thing they imagined? The world is imagining it can stop God. That's the vain thing. It's the world, God's agenda, listen, with you or without you, is going to be fulfilled. It's going to take place. But I'd rather be on with God. Amen. You know, I'd rather be with God, and God can use it. I mean, we can slow it down. We can slow down what's going on in the world. And the apostles, they had some convictions about some things. They had convictions. When they prayed, they called Jesus Lord. They had convictions about who He is, that He's Lord, and that He's sovereign, and He's controlling, and He's on the throne, and that one day He's coming back. And one day, going to sit on the judgment seat, and I want to tell you something. Everybody going to stand before the Lord one way or the other. If you're lost, you're going to be at the great white throne judgment. And if you're saved, you're still going to be at the judgment seat, be judged for your rewards. And I'm going to tell you something. Won't be no talking. You won't be going, but. See. I couldn't help it. No. You're not going to say anything. You study it in Revelation, you'll see, without excuse. Quiet. You going to stand there? Yeah. It's real. You know, people don't preach. I'm going to have to get one of them messages on hell, man. People don't preach on hell. It's real. Judgment's real. Listen, it's real. You got to understand that. They had convictions about that. And they prayed to God and they asked Him, they said, listen. They said, well, you know, Lord, we want you to see these threatenings. Now, you know how we would have prayed. What would we have said? When they said, Lord, look at these threatens, you know what we would have said? Lord, take them out of the way. They didn't ask for God to take them out of the way. See what it said? Lord, behold their threatenings. They didn't say, Lord, take these threatenings away. We're scared. They said, Lord, behold them. And then it said, grant to the servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. They said, God, give us boldness to keep on doing the very thing that got us locked up in the first place. Give us boldness to do that. Isn't that prayer so different than what we pray about today? Isn't it so different? And you know, give them, and they did. I asked a question Wednesday night, and I ask you this question here. Now listen carefully. When is the last time that you shared your faith with somebody? I'm not saying inviting them to church. That's different. I want to know, when's the last time you shared your faith with somebody else? Now listen here. Listen to this part of this. Your faith is not what God has done for you. Well, you know, because you can say, well, you know, Jesus saved me. Jesus saved me, boy, forgave me of my sins. I understand all that. When you're sharing your faith with somebody, it's this. What has God done to you? What has He done to you? When's the last time you shared your faith with somebody? If ever, or how often? How often do you think we should share our faith with somebody? How about every day? I mean, there's somebody every day, if you know, unless you're on a deserted island and nobody shows up. I mean, every day. That's what we're supposed to do. They, Because I said this, I like praying for boldness. But do you get scared? Yeah, sometimes. I mean, I'm a little nervous. Don't know how they're going to react. I try to pick somebody I'm bigger than. I figure if it gets down to it, I can take them, right? Huh? Hey, yeah. The lame man asked for alms, and Peter and John said this. Peter said, you know, I don't have any silver and gold. He said, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to give you what I got. And he gave him the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we may not have nothing that meets everybody's physical need. We might not have everything that meets everybody's physical need. But we can give them what we got, right? We're afraid to do that. Give them what you got, the gospel. Let me tell you what Jesus Christ did for me. Let me tell you what he can do for you. Share your gospel. The gospel message. They asked for boldness. God granted the request. In verse 31, the Bible says they were filled with the Spirit. And they all spoke the word. They all spoke the word with boldness. All. Not just some. No apology, no hesitation. A consciousness of God's presence filling. It produced boldness. It produced conviction and courage. The Bible says this, is make your calling and election sure. Make your calling and election sure. That means make sure that you're saved. Be sure about that. There's a line drawn. And I'm going to tell you, it's just going to get worse. And you know what's going to happen? There's a good side of this. Well, is that a good thing? Well, there's a good side of it. I'll tell you what the persecution is going to do and the line drawn in the sand is going to do. It's going to force the fakes out. Now, I'm not saying that in a mean way. Because I'll tell you what, man, if I'm a fake, I want to find out about it. Huh? You know, if it forces me out, then I'm going to say, hey, there's something I don't have that's real. I want to know that. You know, that's going to be a good thing. It's going to be good for the church. It's going to be good for the people that really realize the truth. There's a line. It's going to get worse. And, you know, you're not going to be able to see right now. You can hide. You can be all indifferent. What if it came to where you could lose your life for coming here this morning? Well, you think there's at least people here now. What do you see then, right? Me and the crickets, right? But it could come. You know, you think, well, that couldn't happen. We're watching those videos in Iraq and how the Christians are persecuted there. A lot more Christians there than you think. They're going through a lot more difficulty than we are, and they're staying true and faithful too. Not the fake ones, but the real ones, huh? Just think about that. Only the real thing is going to be able to stand. Last little quote I got here, and I'm done. P.T. Forsyth wrote this. He said, the first duty of every soul is to find not its freedom, but its master. Everybody's mastered by the God of this world or the God of the universe, one or the other. Let's all stand with our heads bowed.